Welcome to episode 22 of Unraveling Karma, an evolutionary astrology podcast to help you deepen self-understanding and make changes for the better. My name is Tom Jacobs. I'm an astrologer, medium, and channel. Find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. Four books there, including The Soul's Journey 1, Astrology, Reincarnation, and Karma with a Medium and Channel. That book explains in detail the approach that I use in all of these podcasts, where I analyze charts in a very specific way to look at karma, which is look at karma and how to change it and what the soul's journey is. Obviously, that's in the title. And that really is kind of a... It is evolutionary astrology, but it's kind of a little different than what we've received from Jeff Greed and Steve Forrest over the years. It's kind of an advance in one way, deepening an understanding of what the soul is and how it experiences all these different lives. So if you like this podcast, go to my site or go to Amazon and look up The Soul's Journey 1, that's a Roman numeral 1, and get that book. You will dig it if you even halfway dig the podcast. Before we get started, I want to tell you about something I'm working on, to let you know that it's not officially announced yet, but I am kind of starting to spread the word. It is a Chiron audio course. It's all MP3s. It's going to be about 9.5 to 10 hours of everything I know about Chiron, including its place as an initiator into the Aquarian Age, learning new things about healing and wounding and living as energetic beings, including the transition that we're undergoing now that culminates in 2012, or the end of the Mayan calendar is more accurate, and also all the astrology of it, houses, signs, etc. This is material that I've channeled over the last 2.5 years. Every time I asked my guides and the Ascended Masters I work with what will happen in 2012, I was responded to with tips on healing people's Chiron issues. As I put them in play, over the last 2.5 years, I've had incredible results with people in all kinds of different ways. And I wanted to write a book, but 4 books in a year, I was just kind of tired. So I decided to do this audio course, and it's just about finished. I'm also going to be doing a giveaway, giving away a free copy. So stay tuned about that. Follow, go check my Facebook page, Evolutionary Astrology and Mediumship with Tom Jacobs. And you can also sign up for my mailing list through my site, my email list. Those are the two best ways to find out about this. But it's going to be released in early October. This is a really important update to how we've been thinking about Chiron. So I'm extremely, I love everything I do, but this Chiron teaching that comes through the masters is our ticket to the Aquarian Age. And as I put this in play in my life now and do this with my clients and students, I'm teaching them how to live in the Aquarian Age now. And it really helps seed a higher level of consciousness on the planet. So stay tuned for that. That's going to be incredible. You're going to love that. Sign up for my mailing list or look at the Facebook page, but that's coming very soon. Today I have 2 listener charts, but first I want to talk about some Saturn in Libra business. Saturn recently transited over my Pluto. So I mean, right now it's probably 20 minutes past perfecting the aspect. So it just happened, over the last few days. And I really started thinking a lot about projection. Had some things come up, some kind of intense things in my life where other people were basically telling me things about me that in some ways had some kinds of truth to them, but in many ways were just those people telling me about their experience of me. And so I was able to not take their experience personally, if that makes sense. But then tonight, actually, something very minor happened, and that just kind of this experience tonight kind of sealed in this idea that I really wanted to address this. So elsewhere, I do have on the cosmicpath.com, on the writings page, that's Stephanie Azaria's site, I do have a 42-minute MP3 from that was published August 1st of 2010. Today is August 31st. But it's up there. It's going to stay there. And that is about the cardinal T-square. So Saturn in Libra, Pluto in Capricorn, Uranus, Jupiter, and Aries, when they were both in Aries, in that configuration. So I go into detail about all these things in that audio. So check that out. either through my site on the articles page or just go straight to thecosmicpath.com/writings. I mentioned a little about projection in there, but I really want to just kind of talk in depth about this for a few minutes before I get into the listener charts. So Saturn, in its transits, always brings a reality check. You know, lots of times that's difficult for us to experience. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes, you know, we see that invitation to get more structured, to get more mature, realistic, whatever. We see that invitation and it can be easy to respond. But Saturn in transit always brings a reality check to wherever it is. So as it transited through Virgo over the last couple of years, we got a lot of insights into process, into our analytical process, how we treat our bodies, and therefore health and wellness, you know, the sources, the causes of illness and disease, etc. And also about responsibility and what we take responsibility for and why. Now, when it gets into Libra, the reality check is on what happens between people. Libra is the sign of the other. It's the sign of learning how to relate in healthy ways with others. If you're still thinking that Libra is about kindness and equality and fairness, you need to throw that out the window because Libra is about learning how to be kind with other people, how to create fairness and equality together. So there's a lot of nasty stuff that happens in Libra. I don't know if there's anybody out there who was looking forward to Saturn hitting Libra because at least it wouldn't be in Virgo anymore, but Saturn's always going to bring up the you know, more difficult stuff, challenging us to grow up, etc. You know, Saturn as the planet of authority and maturity can ask this question as it transits the wheel: who's in charge of you? Where are you giving your authority away that you need to take it back? Now, when it comes into Libra, there's this whole business about our interactions with other people. So through Libra, we learn about ourselves through the reflection from other people. Saturn in Libra wants you to be realistic, wants us, all of us, to be realistic about what we're seeing reflected. That's where projection comes in. When I don't like something about myself, right, when I don't like a quality that I possess, I don't like a part of me, I don't like one of my motivations, then I will not want to own it. But because it's a hot button issue within my psyche, within my energy field, I will naturally see it in the world around me. And when it comes up, I will say, oh, there's that quality in that person. I don't like that. I hate that. That person makes me uncomfortable. I don't like whatever. This complaining about how the other person is. So Saturn in Libra, whenever you find fault in what other people are doing, and sometimes not what they're doing, but how they are wired, you might be seeing an opportunity to take back a projection. Basically, anything that you don't like in another person and that you think that person brings into your world, that's projection. So the Saturn in Libra invitation for you that I'm happy to relate to you today in this podcast is to look at everything that bothers you about other people. It can be specific people like, you know, Fred Smith, who is my neighbor. You know, it can be specific people or, you know, my mother or my spouse, you know, whatever. Even domesticated animals of the more high conscious variety, like dogs and cats, can represent qualities to you that you don't like in yourself. So look at what bothers you about either specific people or categories of other people. If you can say, oh, those people are like this, then you're projecting, you're putting something out of you're trying not to own something, and you're finding it in other people. Now, when we're not projecting, and we own all the parts of ourselves, we simply observe how other people are behaving, and we don't put labels, we don't categorize them into these groups of, oh, well, those people are like this. Look at what bothers you about other people and take a serious, like, sit down, plan to take an hour and look at what it is about those people that bother you, and try on for size that they represent a side of something that you're not sure how to own in yourself, or you don't want to take responsibility for having this part be a part of you. It turns into an interesting exercise to say, you know, just to run with this baseline, everything that I don't like in other people is a part of myself that I'm not sure how to own. When you do that, you take back the projections and you start to accept that other people are simply reflecting parts of you to you. Now, for the people with Pluto in early Libra natally, and those are the births from 1971, 72, for a few years, because Pluto's right now retroing just under 3 degrees in the square. Wait, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Saturn. So Saturn's about 3 degrees and 40. See, I've been in my Pluto square, so I've been thinking about all these transits all in kind of one thought, one combined course, homework set. But the Saturn's about 3:40 right now, 3 degrees, 40 minutes. For those who have their Plutos in early Libra natally, this Saturn is going over the Pluto. So it's a reality check on whatever the Pluto is doing. I've been drawing people this week who have some self-confidence issues who are calling me arrogant. And I don't know, I don't think that's too personal to share with you. Let me think. Am I going to edit that out? I'm not sure yet. We'll find out. But I am embodying kind of really big sense of self-confidence right now. I'm loving what I do for work. I feel very strong. I feel very empowered. I feel that I'm able to give the gifts that I want to give people. And I actually feel for the first time that I'm being myself out loud in a healthy way. For decades, I drew people to me who said, "You're just not quite being totally honest about yourself." And I was afraid to be this loud and confident because I might be called arrogant or I might be arrogant. Well, so obviously arrogance is a shadow of mine. So I've been drawing that this week, but as people have been saying that to me, and I feel really healthy about how confident I'm being right now, and I'm actually listening to audio that I've been recording. I've been channeling some, and then also doing dispatches for a new podcast called Living Consciously that will be available soon through iTunes. And I've been listening to this with a critical ear saying, you know, am I being arrogant? But it's really not. It's that the people in my life who have self-confidence issues or who have the shadow of arrogance are coming out and they're seeing this level of confidence in me, and it makes those parts of them nervous, because there they are. They're around this behavior that they're not sure how to look at. They're not sure how to own. So in that example, arrogance can be thought of as an extreme of self-confidence. So every single negative label that others put on you, or that you might put on other people, whether it's that Fred Smith is my neighbor and he's like this, or it's that category of people, those people, these people, every single one of those, it translates what the real issue is. Look at what the negative thing is, arrogance in this example, as an extreme of self-confidence. So do a little connecting the dots there, because the Saturn in Libra, especially over these people's, these early 70s births, Saturn going over the Pluto says, get real about what you're not owning in yourself. So the way I responded to these people was, you know, there is a part of me that does express arrogance sometimes, but I also recognize that arrogance is an extreme of self-confidence, and I actually feel really good about how I'm expressing myself right now. That, of course, you know, some of them are just not pleased about that. They want me to feel shame that they experience me as arrogant. And I'm just not going to do that. And then other people, I mean, this comes down to maybe 5 people. 2 of them are saying, I'm not sure how to respond to this, but I see this in you, and I'm not sure what to do with it, and I love you. You're important to me. And so I've been really gratified that I do have those kind of people in my life as well, because they're able to go with me on this learning journey of exploring, well, where's the middle ground between self-confidence and arrogance, and how are they connected? So in your life, oh, and the other people were just gone. The other people decided that I was a bad person and they didn't want to be around me, so they left. And I said, okay, well, okay, bye. And I didn't take it personally because, again, Saturn in Libra wants us to, you know, do some homework on our relationships and let things go that really don't serve us. And I realized that maybe those relationships weren't on strong legs to begin with, but in my interest in being Libra, I have a ton of stuff in Libra, including Pluto. Maybe I'm willing to overlook some fundamental things that are going to catch up to me when Saturn hits Libra and goes over that Pluto, you know, and it's time to clean up relationships. Anyway, so this Saturn and Libra projection business, just look at what you think other people are like but after observing their behavior, interacting with them. And then look at how other people are telling you that you are. And figure out how to take back what is yours, right? Own the parts of you that you need to own, but also give back what doesn't belong to you. And you don't have to be angry about it. Somebody insults you, somebody tells you you're whatever, like in my case, telling me I'm arrogant and really being angry at me about it and wanting me to feel shame about being this horrible person. And I just said, yeah, gosh, I really, that's just not where I am. I really just can't really agree with you on that. And I didn't do it in an angry way, but, you know, it just wasn't satisfying because I think in their process, their processes, they're different people, of figuring out how to own their stuff. It's just, I just kind of showed up as a teacher for that. And I don't know if they got the lessons because, like I said, they're gone. I hope they do. I hope they learned something out of it and don't just, you know, have like a black mark next to me in their mental file. But anyway, so that's my Saturn and Libra projection stuff. Take your stuff back and give back what doesn't belong to you. The first listener chart to that a question that I have. Actually, she's not a listener. I met her at the local food co-op, the local store, the local co-op. This is where I buy all my food here in Tucson. I walked in and had an interaction with her, and I was having a particularly good day. I think I had a student and a client, and I was just overflowing with this. I have the best job in the world. Just really, really happy about what I get to do, you know, every day with people. She asked me how I was. I said something superlative and over the top, and she said, wow. And I said, yeah, I love my job. I have the best job in the world. And she said, wow, I wish I felt that way about my job, or I wish I did something that made me feel that way. So I said, you know, I do a podcast, I'll answer your question. So, you know, Brigida is not into astrology at all, but I'm not even sure if she listens to podcasts, but she'll figure out a way to hear this one when I tell her it's done. So I'm going to give you her birth data and talk about work for her. So the birth data are February 25th, 1988, in Burlington, Wisconsin. The time of day is 6 a.m. The first thing to know, and this story kind of pops out kind of quick at me, so Brigida, just bear with me with all the astro talk, because I do the podcast to teach people how I do astrology as well. So just kind of edit out all the astrology words and listen for the nuggets, threading them together. So the first thing with Brigida is that her south node is in Virgo in the seventh house. So she is conditioned over her many lives, again and again, to be controlled by other people is one way to look at it. As I read her energy field, because I've met her a few times, as I read her energy field, she's not feeling like a slave or anything, which is one way a Virgo 7th south node can come out, but definitely attuned to what other people expect, what other people need, what other people want. So the Virgo idea has to do with choosing relationships, right? Choosing the kinds of people we're involved with, but in a karmic sense, over many lives, Brigida's been conditioned to listen to what other people say over what she herself says. So that's just one of the baseline things. Square the nodal axis in the 11th house in Capricorn are Uranus, Saturn, and Mars. Saturn square the nodes is a classic unresolved issue about work. Uranus is about freedom and originality, unresolved issue. And Mars is about will. They're all working through the sign of maturity, respectability, and long-term work. They're in the house of working towards the future. So to kind of distill all that down, Brigida, you have an unresolved issue, a karmic confusion is one way to say it, about what kind of future you get to create. Where does your energy get to go? Do you get to be free? Do you get to create the kind of community and world that you want? Because Mars is square the nodes, Mars is desire and expression of will. Because that's an unresolved issue, you're just karmically wired to be unsure where you should put your energies. So this really comes down, I want to get ahead of myself. So that's going on with the nodal structure. The other squares to the nodes are Moon, Chiron, and Gemini in the fourth. This has to do, Moon definitely has to do with desire. Chiron has to do with energetic sensitivity and feeling different. And this is in the house of inner knowledge. So the other unresolved issue for Brigida is looking deep inside and being honest about what she really wants, who she really is, like when no one else is around and the lights are off, who is she? Now, that version of her will show up as unique and different, but Chiron always makes us very sensitive to the reactions of other people. So in her energy field is this argument between this stuff about work and creating the future and then being unique and being a deeply energetically sensitive person. So there's this argument. When I go on to the South Node Ruler, which represents Brigida in her various lives, her role in wherever she shows up, right? What are the families that she's born into? Her role. This is Aquarius 12th house, this Mercury in Aquarius in the 12th. She is, in one way, in another world. This is not necessarily being checked out and disconnected, but it is definitely about having a unique way of looking at the world. It can be daydreamy. It can be very creative. It can be escapist. It can be thinking really big. The 12th house relates to masses and big picture stuff. But there's definitely kind of broad intellectual imprint here karmically that the people that she's listening to with this 7th house Virgo South node, the people she's listening to just don't get her. So over and over again in different lives, and for Brigida who's listening to this, when I talk about this life, it's actually one holographic representation of this whole soul's journey. So if you have 1,032 lives, these themes are being played out in different ways in all of those lives. And so as I talk about past lives, I'm talking about your life now too. Look at how you might not fit with the people that you come from. Look at how what they taught you about work and the kinds of activism that are important, or the kind of forward-looking work and the kind of associations to belong to and the kind of work in the community to do. Something about that that they taught you does not reflect who you know you really are. After all of that, the big answer for you is to, like, how would you create a job that was really fulfilling for you? So that you could walk in somewhere and somebody says, how are you? And you say, I have the best job ever. You know, how can you do that? Well, what do you want the world to look like? What do you want your community to look like? What do you want your future to look like? For you, you have not really explored saying in 20 years, this is what I want my life to look like. Because a part of you thinks you just don't get to have it. So that's kind of, after all of that, the short answer is you have to pick something to do and commit to it, but make sure that it reflects who you really are. So I'm not giving you, you know, suggestions for job stuff or career direction, because this process, and even if I were right now hanging out with your spirit guides, which I'm intentionally not, because they've already shown me that this is the process you have to go through, and that involves a lot of karmic healing for you. So even if I were asking them, they would not be giving me direction for you. But you have to figure this out, but you have to do it with a total and utter commitment to what you think is important, to who you are, to what you want to see the world look like. And when you do that, then you find other people who agree with you, and it's easier to create that world. You cannot do it by yourself. That's true. Nobody can create the world the way he or she wants it by him or herself. And that's why we have this 11th house, where you have this kind of pileup of karmic confusion, unresolved issues. I hope that's helpful, Brigida, and thank you for, well, you didn't send in your question, but thanks a lot for participating. And next time I see you, let me know how this sounded to you. Okay, so that's Brigida. If you have a question you want me to answer about your chart, it'll be 8 to 10 minutes long, just like I just did for this chart. Send it to karma@tdjacobs.com. And send me your first name, and you can make one up if you don't want me to use your real one, but send me your full birth data too, day, month, year, time of day, and location of birth. And then I will let you know which episode you're going to be in. I do them in a first-come, first-served fashion. And also send me your question, what you want me to look at. It can be, if you have 5 questions and you're not sure which, send them all. But let me prioritize. I'll pick one out intuitively that your guides are kind of pointing at and saying, he or she would really want to hear this. So, or they would love to hear you have answer C. So send that to karma@tdjacobs.com. The next question is from Beth. And Beth writes, what karma do I need to unravel in my romantic relationships while Saturn is in Libra? So this is pretty juicy. And as I did this Saturn in Libra projection spiel earlier in there, Beth, you might relate to some of that because you do have Pluto in Libra in the 12th house. Part of your relationship, part of every one of your relationships will, until you get it, you know, until you stop doing this, be subconscious. With just Pluto in Libra in the 12th, that's one of the things. But I do want to do kind of a full nodal analysis for you because it'll answer some questions about this. Oh, but I want to tell the listeners Beth's data. February 19th, oh, another Pisces, just like Brigida. This is the Pisces edition. February 19th, 1978, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 9:50, that's 9:50 p.m. First thing to note is that Beth's north node is in Libra. So that means her south node is in Aries. In her many lives, she's been conditioned to be Aries, which means having to respond to scenarios quickly, without thinking, and often having to do things on one's own. When someone has a south node in Aries, there's often this hesitancy to work with other people because other people complicate things, other people take too long, other people aren't clear about what's important, what the priorities of the moment should be. So there's an Aries kind of conditioning that Beth has been experiencing over many lives. It just means, Beth, that you're picking families that are Aryan in nature. Of course, the sixth house matters here, but you're picking families that have to that kind of run that way in order to teach you. We just all choose families to teach us a certain way of being. We have to pick a family, so we keep doing this over and over again. So Libra for you is, so Saturn going through Libra is a big deal for you. I mean, your Pluto's there. I mean, your ascendant's there, and that's important. But Pluto's there and the North Node, and Saturn is now an orb of conjuncting the North Node. So this is actually a very big deal for you. Basically, the contrast between a south node in Aries and the north node in Libra has to do with taking time to weigh options and also listening to other people. You essentially are learning about cooperation. So Libra for you, while the south node is in Aries, the people you come from and the environments that you choose again and again and again are Aryan in nature, so you need to learn Libra. Your Pluto is already in Libra. So one way of looking at this, because it can at first glance seem confusing if you're following how I work, and Beth actually said she caught up on all the other podcasts, so she's listened to 21 of these so far. So it might look confusing. Well, if her soul's mission is about Libra, how can her south node be in Aries? But that's about the environments that she's choosing to be conditioned by. So the soul's mission says, I'm going to learn about fairness, harmony, justice, equality, balance. I'm going to learn those things. I'm going to learn that through relationship. And I'm going to do it in the 12th house. I'm going to learn how to surrender to relationships. I'm going to learn how to have relationships that's based not in a control way, but by opening, by fully opening. So that could be actually relationships with God. It could be, I want to know God. I want to know Goddess. You know, I want to have a relationship with Gaia. Or it could be aliens. Beth, I don't know how you fall on this. But basically, your soul's mission is to connect with spirit and to learn that through how to moderate that, and how to have a fulfilling relationship with a spiritual way of life, but also to have fulfilling relationships that are based in spiritual truth. South Node in the sixth house, a lot about practicality for you. A lot about daily routine. What needs doing now? This 12th house will look like leisure to the people you come from. Connecting, you know, sitting down to meditate. Getting lost in music, right? Putting on some Philip Glass or Sibelius and getting lost. That's not a part of what the people you come from, you know, what they do. So I already talked about the Pluto mission a little bit. I want to add that it's retrograde. So you have to learn to forge your own way of being empowered in the 12th house, in Libra in the 12th house. So this relationship stuff for you, maybe you have some projections. Maybe you have some prejudices about what it would mean to surrender. Maybe you have fears about being overpowered by the intensity of what would happen if you did surrender. If you do have that, and I would wager that a retro Pluto and Libra in the 12th might, I would wager that, because what this says is that you have surrendered and you felt overwhelmed, whether that's with a person or with spirit, with Goddess, Gaia, God, whomever, aliens, whatever. But you have surrendered. And that is now that's how you can be empowered as a human, as a divine being having this human experience. So, as Saturn goes through Libra, it's on your south node. So right now, you're supposed to be realistic about the benefits of surrendering. Realistic about the benefits of listening to other people, taking in the opinions of other people, working with other people. Because Saturn wants you to be utterly realistic with this, there are relationships in your life that just don't work, and you have to go through the process of sitting down with the other person and or people and saying, let's either work this out or move into the future. But the Saturn and Libra process is sitting down and hashing it out together, which is partly foreign to you because you're conditioned by Aries in the sixth house. That's a lot of what's happening right now. And you actually mentioned a particular relationship that I'm not going to really go into, but giving you that framework, that kind of conceptual approach of what is not fair needs to be hashed out, and it's one of two results, and nobody can know that before you go through the process with the other people. You know, it either lasts and becomes stronger, or realistically, you agree to go separate ways. Because the Pluto is there, part of you might have, in Libra in the 12th, part of you might have fears about losing people. If you are afraid that ending a relationship means that others will not come, this is a fear to work through. This is a fear to get over being attached to people, or particular people, in order to trust and have faith develop. But actually for you, because the Pluto is there and it's retro, meaning something's been overdone about this and you're kind of burned out karmically, it's time for you to reestablish a willingness to surrender to what, in one way of saying it, the universe has in store for you relationship-wise. Whether that's going through a learning process with the people you're with now, or whether it's new stuff, learning to recapture this willingness to have faith. When Saturn does go over the Pluto, you can look up in the ephemeris, I didn't do that. but when Saturn does go over the Pluto, I don't know if it's later this year or early next year, and also check the retro cycle too, because Saturn will be retroing in Libra, and it might kind of give you three passes over the Pluto in total. So when it does, you're going to be invited to become realistic about your deepest fears, in order to create your deepest desires. And because this does have to do with fairness, harmony, and equality, it will also have to do with relationships. And then after that, Saturn's going to go over your ascendant. So let me just take a look at the rest of your chart about this. Yeah. So when Saturn does hit your Pluto, it's going to be squaring Juno, Capricorn in the third. So Saturn squaring Juno is supposed to be a challenge for you about what you're committed to. And that will include people, but it will have a lot to do with, you know, look at Saturn in Libra, right? The Saturn and the sign of relationship squaring Juno in Saturn's own sign. So there's a reality check waiting for you about whom you relate to and why. And the last thing I'll say is that while it's not directly tied in to this, I will look at the South Node ruler for a moment. It's Mars. It's retrograde in Cancer at the very end of the ninth house, conjunct the midheaven, conjunct Moon in 10th in Cancer. And those are actually the Mars is square Pluto in Libra. If you identify as a giver, right, South Node ruler in Cancer, conjunct Moon, if you identify as a giver, you're going to have to take some of that back. You're going to have to be realistic about what it is you give and why. You probably have a job where you're in some helping profession in some way, or you perform some role in a helping manner. You're going to need to take some energy back about how much you give and why. So thank you, Beth, for writing. I think that's, oh wait, sorry, there's one more thing. Just looking at the kind of Libra Venus seventh house stuff, Chiron and Taurus in the seventh, and that's actually square the Moon Mars as well. And so there's going to be some stuff, you know, if you're afraid of losing people, again, if you're afraid of being rejected if you speak up, that is fodder for growth and healing as well. So that's the last thing. So thanks again for writing in, Beth. Hope that's useful to you. Again, anybody else, if you have questions, send them to karma@tdjacobs.com. My name is Tom Jacobs. Find me on the web at tdjacobs.com. I'm an astrologer, medium channel. I do private sessions. I do ongoing intuitive coaching that may or may not include astrology based on you, where we spend 45 minutes on the phone every week for a number of months unraveling your specific issues. So you change your outer life from the inside. So changing your life from the inside out. You can check that out. I've also recently lowered my tutoring rates. If you want to learn to do this soul-empowering, soul-centered karmic astrology, check out my site. Check out the store page, the tutoring section. I have a list of potential topics that we can work on based on what you want to do. And I recently lowered the rates because the energy exchange that I give in tutoring is much less than coaching and readings. And it just felt right to kind of lower that a little bit. It's not a statement about my self-confidence, about my tutoring value. One of my students, I guess, maybe thought to caution me or kind of point out to me that she gets an incredible value out of this. And she was kind of didn't want to second guess my decision to lower the rates, but she just wanted me to know how important it was to her. And I had to laugh, and I appreciated that. So if you want to learn this kind of astrology, get The Soul's Journey 1, that book, through my site or Amazon.com, and then call me for tutoring. Thank you so much for listening. This has been episode 22 of Unraveling Karma.